this modern day epidemic. Georgia's young people can lead awareness and change. Our office's contest, We're Not Gonna Take It, offers high school and college students the chance to create a 30-second TV or radio PSA illustrating the dangers of opioid abuse and how they're fighting back. Go to law.ga.gov to learn more.
This message brought to you by the Georgia Attorney General.
Hi, I'm Russell Joel Brown, Broadway actor and former star of The Lion King. Please join me at the Lucy Craft Laney Museum Heritage Gala, the annual fundraiser for Augusta's Black History Museum. Linwood Holmes, Dr. Rosalind Floyd, and I have created a unique musical theater experience. This piece celebrates art, history, and historic preservation and will feature Motown, classical, R&B, and Broadway music woven into a narrative of my experiences in Augusta and in New York City. It's unlike anything I've ever done. Also new this year, there will be a dance immediately following the banquet. So feel free to stay and dance the night away to the sounds of Sounds Unlimited Band. Don't miss this year's Heritage Gala, benefiting the Lucy Craft Laney Museum, Saturday, February 24th at 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at www.lucycraftlaneymuseum.com.
If it's the best in gospel music,
gospel music never sounds so good.
It's gotta be Praise 96.9.
So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I will always love you.
Miss Whitney Houston encouraging us to always love each other. Dr. Firestone helping us understand how to do it. And Dr. Firestone, you were sharing with us that there is more to love than meets the eye.
There is. You know, there's our original map that I was talking about that we get about relationships, or these models of how we think it goes. And we tend to bring those then to our romantic relationships. And that affects everything from who we select as partners to how we act when we're in a relationship and the difficulties we're likely to have. So it's important to kind of understand some of those models. So what those early relationships teach us is that when you express a need or a want, is that going to get responded to? Is the person going to notice it? Is it okay to do that? Are they going to make you feel cared about and connected to and concerned? And if you get a message that that's positive and that that goes well, then you build trust. And you have trust not only in other people but in yourself that it's going to be okay. You know, when we're little and in our romantic relationships, what we're looking for is we want to feel safe, and we want to feel like the person has our back. We want to feel soothed when we're distressed, and we want to feel seen for who we really are. And I've been doing some work with Dr. Les Greenberg, who is the founder of Emotionally Focused Therapy. In fact, we're coming out with an e-course with him, and we're doing a webinar actually tomorrow, a free webinar on emotion that people are welcome to join or to access at any time. But what he talks about is that in romantic relationships, the cycles we tend to get in is where one person wants more emotional closeness than the other. And so one person becomes the pursuer, one person becomes the distancer. And when you have that kind of dynamic, it's one thing. And, you know, often the person who's pursuing does things that push the other person away by trying to get in there, trying to get closer. And the person who's the distancer does things that hurt the other person, that make them want to come after them more when they do their distancing. So if you can get a hold of those cycles, you can do a lot. other cycle that people get into is one of not feeling like their needs are getting, their needs and their identity are getting acknowledged, that they're not seen for who they really are. We want our partner to see us and to acknowledge us and to affirm our identity. And that's another kind of cycle that people can get into, where they want the person to see them, but in trying to get them to, they may actually create distance too, and it becomes a pattern.
And it becomes a pattern that is very, very frustrating for both parties?
Yes, for both parties. And if you can identify it as a pattern and help people take a little couple steps back instead of blaming each other for it, see, okay, this is just our cycle that we've gotten into, and what could we do differently? So the person who's pursuing, what could they do that would actually draw their partner closer? And what could the person who distances do, what would they ask their partner to do that would allow them to move closer instead of having to create more distance? And one thing Les Greenberg talks about, which because it's personal, is that in his very long-term marriage that he had, he always wanted more emotional closeness than his wife. You know, he was all about we time, and she needed some me time. And he had a hard time, feeling for that. Well, she was killed tragically in an accident, and a few years later, he got into a new relationship, and his new partner wants more emotional closeness than he does. And so now he's kind of going, wait, I need a little time to myself. And in that, he really has a lot more feeling for his wife than he did in their long marriage, because he sees what it's like when you're the person who needs a little me time, that it doesn't mean you're rejecting your partner or you don't love them. You just might have a different need for the level of closeness. And how to negotiate those things is easier if we can talk about them and recognize the cycles we've gotten into and start to reveal the vulnerable emotions that are underneath. Sometimes are angry or pouting or whatever it might be, kinds of reactions to our partner. You know, what's the underlying vulnerable feeling? Because often what we get away from is those initial vulnerable feelings. So if we want to get closer to somebody, we have to expose our emotional underbelly and let them see the places where we hurt or the feelings that we have. And then we need to express the want that goes along with that feeling, like, I want you to love me all the time, no matter what, or I want you to only pay attention to me, or, you know, things that are not realistic, they're global. Mm-hmm. And then if you can identify something specific you want from your partner, that's also important. So it might not be, I love you all the time, but can you, you know, in little ways on a daily basis, show me that you love me, maybe by giving me a hug, or, you know, small things that they could actually do, or if you're going to be late, can you call me so I don't feel abandoned, you know? And, you know, those very specific things that a person can actually do gives your partner some ideas of how they can actually help meet that need and make you feel happier in the relationship.
And you mentioned, you know, the pursuer, the distancer, and as I was listening, it seemed like it's a situation wherein neither is necessarily bad per se. It's just a matter of whether or not any given couple is able to find the balance that works for them.
Absolutely. Neither person is bad. And both of them have learned strategies. You know, sometimes one has learned a strategy that the way you get loved is that you focus on the person all the time. And that might be the pursuer. The distancer might have learned that the way you get love or get your needs met is that you don't act like you have any and you don't even really totally connect with them, because that's more comfortable. So it's both people maybe challenging the psychological defenses or adaptations they made to their early life and, you know, developing more tolerance for real closeness, where you let your partner come toward you, you don't just go toward them, or where you go towards your partner, you don't just make them come after you all the time. And so it's breaking the pattern that's important. It's not that either person's bad or that they want to be hurtful.
Or even the principles themselves. You know, the fact that there is this whole idea of pursuing, there is this idea of distancing, as long as neither is extreme. Because, you know, I listened to this notion of distancing, and it almost sounds like that's just negative. But when you put it in the context, you frame it the way you did earlier, where you talked about sometimes we just need some me time, then we can see how that can actually be a plus, a benefit, something good. And it's just a matter of making sure that we don't have an excessive amount of me time.
Right, right. You want to have a sense of your own identity and your own life, independent of your partner, but you also really want to be close to them and in close emotional contact when you're with them. So it's more, in some ways, the quality of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you were pursuing an education in addition to working for a while, and, you know, that doesn't leave you a whole lot of time for your relationship, but if you make the quality of the time that you spend with somebody really good, that goes a long way.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, are you all taking notes? Y'all going to be ready to talk about this when you get home this evening? There's more. Dr. Firestone is going to share with us some of the specifics of intimacy, what it is, what it is not, how to establish it to begin with, how to restore it if you once have it, but then lose it.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make